Hello and welcome to Oscar Mike Radio. My name is Travis, Marine Corps veteran and your host. Oscar Mike Radio is co-produced with Sinister One Productions. What's your podcast doing? I want to thank my sponsors, TNT, Pin Company, Lead Spot Outright, and my supporters, Caisson Shaving Company, Exceptional Parent Magazine, and Fight Camp, Be Your Strongest Combination. Look, ladies and gentlemen, I've been doing this a long time, but there's no doubt that I love talking to Marines, fellow Marines. Marine myself, get to talk to Marines, and my next guest is a Marine, and we have collaborated virtually on several projects, and I'm so happy to talk with her today, Gloria Nestlone. Welcome to Oscar Mike Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much, Travis, for the invitation. I look forward to what we're going to share today.
Absolutely. So I'm always curious about the journey through the military. Kind of start with how you got into the Marine Corps, what you did, and we'll go from there.
So when I was 4 years old, my dad took me to Camp Pendleton base, where he was a military police. And from that day forward, the smell of that tent and the swimming pool never got away from me. When I grew up, my birthday was on January 9th, and I entered into a recruiter station. And from there, I've always had a mindset of Marine Corps. And I just decided I was going to sign up, surprised my parents, and took off in about 2 or 3 months after that.
So you just decided to do it. It was kind of in your blood, literally. What was your MOS in the Marine Corps?
It was a motor transport. And I have about 14 generations military, so I was the only woman who was brave enough to take on the challenge.
So the first woman, the only woman, and you go in, what was it like? Did your dad watch you graduate?
No, I didn't have any supporters at the time. Okay. But what was it like? I would say that I enjoyed it. I wanted to be a drill instructor. Boot camp was awesome. I'd do it again and again and again. I know a lot of people don't like that. I never went overseas. I never did any deployments. So my military terminology may not be like somebody who's seasoned, but I've always had a mindset of the leadership skills that we were taught and the traits that were needed. I kind of had that instilled in me from a very beginning because my dad, like I said, was an MP. So I just kind of was in boot camp all this time until I actually went there.
So yeah, boot camp must have been easy after, you know, living with a Marine for all those years.
Yes.
You served. Now, how long did you serve, Gloria?
I tell people that I've served long enough to become a Marine, but not long enough to fulfill the desire I wanted to make a career out of it. But I served a year, a month, and 22 days.
Okay. What was your transition out of the Marine Corps like then?
I would say because of some traumatic events that happened at the military, my transition was not easy, and it took me a long time to recover from the experience. And usually what I do, instead of telling the story, I tell them, get the book, and that's what I write about.
I know, and ladies and gentlemen, she is a fantastic writer. Let's start with the book, and because there's so many facets to you, but the writing is how we got connected through Gina Alderman and Rugged Warrior Healing Coalition and the Veterans Unchained series. What prompted you to get into writing, Gloria, and share that part of your life with us?
Thank you. So I didn't even know Gina. I don't know how she got a hold of my name. And I love those serendipity moments. And I would believe if she's listening in that she would say the same, like, how did we get connected? Except I would say the Lord. And I'm going to try not to be too Christianese about what I say, but that's...
I'm going to stop you right there. There's been several other guests on Oscar Mike Radio who have told me about their faith and leaned into it. And so, okay, to me, if your faith is part of who you are and your relationship with God is something that you want to share, I want you to know, Gloria, you're welcome to share it here on this platform, please.
Thank you, because that's what I've been living for the last 30 years that has helped me with the healing. So... when I got involved in Veterans Unchained with Gina Alderman, not knowing anything about writing, the experience, that was my first book to ever be involved with. And I didn't have to write the whole story, just that one chapter.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, Mr. Travis, that when I began that first chapter, it was the hardest chapter I've ever had to write because nobody knew my story. And when I was free to write that first story, then I was free to write about just about anything because nothing else was that traumatic in my life. So Gina gave me a pathway for my own healing. And now it's brought healing for other people because I'm not afraid to speak up and speak out and say there is hope. So the chapter of my first anthology is in Veterans Unchained. We would call it probably 1.0.
Yeah.
Yes. And that story was called Hope Deferred to Hope Restored. Oh. And I'll say that that was my life right at the time of from the trauma to the healing that I took about 2 or 3 years to heal from. I would say people who understand the terminology, PTSD, MST, TBIs, if you don't know those terminologies, I'm thankful that you don't. But if you do, you either know somebody who has gone through that or is in it yourself. And my military experience, because of those things that had happened, I also attempted suicide. And if I may go a little bit more into the stories I write about were how I met the Lord when I attempted suicide. And through that, I found that my healing had not yet begun because I met the Lord. My healing became when I began to speak my truth. And I hope that the listeners today would know that there is always somebody who can listen in, even if they don't understand, they're there to listen. And I'm an advocate for the, the 22, any organization that has to do with healing with individuals who have gone through those acronyms that I just mentioned. You're not alone, and you do have a place you can run to. But if you don't reach out and you don't tell your story, then how are you going to receive your healing? So that's where I began my journey of writing.
Let me just back up to your faith. We've talked offline before this conversation, and we've traded emails when we're doing the books together. It seemed like it's more than just a one-time event in your life. Like your faith, like is an everyday thing with you. How has your faith, helped you tell the story, and continue your healing?
Yes. So when I began to receive Jesus in my heart in 1995, so I was in the military in 1993 till 1992 to 1993. And it was still another 2 years after a suicide attempt than I accepted Jesus in my heart. But the healing didn't begin until I would say about 10 or 15 years later. It was a progression because I didn't know anybody else I could talk to. And one of the major impacts that have happened in my life on that healing process was what we call deliverance and or inner healing. And deliverance is, I'd say, getting the elephant out of the room. And when you're able to acknowledge that there are things that need to be done, taking care of what I call that elephant in the room, then you're able to speak that truth. After speaking that truth, then inner healing is what's really going on inside, the emotional part, the traumatic parts, the parts that never got told or exposed. And as long as there's secrets that are hidden, then Jesus is like, he's there, but you don't want to hand it over. And one of the beautiful things that I've observed with the Lord is if I don't hand it over, he won't take it from me. And so I had to hand that emotion, hand him over the memories, the nightmares, and all of the things that happened to do with trauma. And I can sit here today, even speaking to you, Brother Travis, and knowing that the journey of even writing as a part of that healing process. Last but not least is I got involved in retreats. I found out that if I'm involved, then I can help someone who may be going through this particular part of their life that they haven't yet healed. So I am involved in lots of veteran retreats.
So many veterans and people in general don't want to talk about their suicide journey or having those feelings or trying to work through them. But I've talked to people like yourself who have started sharing. And it's the same kind of theme, Gloria, where once they leaned into that, they were able to really understand what they were doing. And what's it like then when someone comes up to you and says, you know what, I'm feeling the same way and you helped me? What happens in that kind of conversation?
I would say that I have to tone down my response, because I want them to be able to express the fullness of what they're experiencing at the moment. I've had my healing. It's their turn. And one of my favorite phrases that I use is, if you don't speak your truth, you will not receive your healing. And so that's their opportunity, especially when they're coming expecting out of a retreat. They made the effort to show up, and I'm allowing the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus to enter into that space with them. And my part is just to be the ears and the heart and the hands and the hug and the voice of truth so that they can continue. And then what we do afterwards is what we call a follow-up. We don't just go to a retreat for 2 or 3 days and then leave the soldier. You know, we don't just leave the veteran. We don't just leave them to their own, whatever they go to, they're going right back to their element. So we make sure we do some follow-ups, which brings a fellowship that they've never had before, to say, we're still here. We didn't forget about you. And so you're going to be expecting a phone call or a email or some kind of tag, you're it, so that we can make sure that they know that they are being cared for in more than a capacity of just showing up to an event. We did not want to make events just to have, you know, occupancy. We created events to enlarge the family, to say we're here, we're still united together. And unfortunately, what unites us together is trauma, but also what unites us together is our healing process.
It's almost like, because you went through this time, you're able to serve. We serve in the military, but you've taken what happened to you and now are serving many more people because of what happened to you. It's really impactful to hear that, because a lot of people are trying to understand what to do after they try to get help or try to get help mm-hmm. in the first place. These retreats, you know, when you're there and you're watching people try to get into their healing, you know, what's going through your mind, or what should, I guess what I'm trying to say is, let's just say I come to a retreat and, you know, you're there watching me. What are you looking for? Or are you just letting the process work?
So I have a unique gifting of knowing. Okay. It's called the prophetic. And in that, I call myself a floating minister. So when someone enters into a retreat, because they're mostly Christian-based retreats, I know things about people just by the Spirit of the Lord. And my part isn't to expose that just at the moment. It's when they're receiving the revelation, I'm just there to confirm what it is that they've come with questions. They're not going to leave with more questions. They're going to leave with some answers and their freedom. So my expectation is just as high as theirs is. The people who come to these retreats, they come in with their arms crossed, you know, sometimes with a military bearing face. And I know that that's just a front, because we've done that even to each other when we first show up in events. But by the end of like the second or third day, they're laughing, they're joking, they're free, and they're not afraid anymore. It's hard to say that about military, especially Marines, that we could be afraid or that we have, you know, we cry. Don't say that out loud. Nobody else needs to know that. But when we do, it's like it's genuinely that part of the healing, because we never got to express emotions. We never got to, and it's not the military, that's just our training. And then it's like, well, we're still human before we're still humans before we're Marines. And we forget that. And my purpose of the retreats at the end of the event is to making sure that they don't leave not knowing that they can have that same healing. And so they don't see the trauma. They don't see brain injury. They don't see nightmares. They don't see the Gloria that I used to be 30 years ago. They see someone who can speak into people's lives. And they're like, how did you know that? I said, I know that by the Spirit of the Lord, because what he did for me, he will do for everyone. He's no respecter of persons, that he would heal me and not you. And we've had all ages. So from brand new veterans to veterans who've been veterans for about 50 years. And the dynamics is different, but the results are the same as far as they receive their healing and their freedom.
They can get their healing and their freedom. You know, that's so powerful, because, you know, you read about different therapies and things like hyperbaric, you know, Ibogaine, you know, other, you know, psychedelic drugs and other kinds of, you know, psychiatric drug regimen. And some of that's needed, but, you know, there's a faith-based component to what we do too, isn't there?
Yes. And I believe, because we're all in parts, we have an emotional side, a physical side. I call them all alls, emotional, physical, mental, financial. Sometimes financial issues can be a major thing. And then you have your spiritual. And so there are ways that should be taken care of physically. So you might use your, you know, your doctors for your physical. You might use a counselor for your mental health. Emotional health, maybe a mentorship or fellowship. But if you don't hit the spiritual side, I, in my opinion, if you don't hit the spiritual side, then you leave healed with the body, but there's still the wound on the inside. And just like with any wound, that needs to be debriefed, kind of rubbed a little bit so that the infection doesn't go back inside. And then we're dealing with bitterness, anger, resentment. Like I said, the nightmares. And if that spiritual healing is not done, then the outward looks great. And I know that you went through a traumatic experience with, you had an injury.
Yeah, I had water separation. Yeah. It was bad.
And it's a process, but can you say right now that you still feel that hurt that you did when you first got injured?
What I can say now is I don't feel the acute pain. I don't feel the sustained discomfort that I was in for so long. Every now and then I'll move a certain way and know it's there, but the actual pain and suffering part of it is largely gone.
Yes. And that's what I would say with the spiritual side too, is in the moment of the trauma, in the moment of the, when you got wounded, whether in the spirit, it affects everything. But if we're only taking care of what's on the outside, we can still have memories. We can still have certain things that haven't been dealt with. And when we're able to deal with those, then they're not as big. It doesn't mean that I don't have the trauma. It doesn't mean that I don't still have nightmares, but it doesn't affect me like it used to for the last, you know, 30 years ago. And so is it still there? The memory is, but not the pain. And just like when you got the healing from your surgery or from your wound injury, you got the healing from the injury. It's still the memory of it.
Yeah.
It's like, so you're careful not to do that again. Right. And then
absolutely,
you also build strength. And yeah, so that's what I also train people on how to do. It's like, don't do that again, or let's build up a strength. Let's give you a tool that can help you manage and, or get to the next step of your freedom in the spirit.
So one thing I want to bounce off you, because, and it's really, you know, we're coming up on 5 years of me recovering, and 5 years ago, I couldn't walk. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
But one thing I found out through my recovery journey that if I wanted to, Gloria, I could get very comfortable being in pain. Like I knew what it was. I knew it's there. I knew how it's going to affect me. And I got really like that. It's almost like a companion. And then, you know, trying to heal and go out of it, it was kind of weird when it started going away. So I wanted to ask on the spiritual / emotional side, can people get so comfortable being hurt that they don't want to heal?
And we'll be able to observe that with individuals who suffer from depression, anxieties, or anger. Those are the last one is fear.
Yeah.
The fear of this is all I've ever known. I don't know what else to do. The other one about the anxiety, it's they're thinking so far in advance that they're not in the present moment. With depression, it's that they're too far in the past that they're also not in the present moment. And I deal with individuals with grief and what do they call that? When someone has survived a combat issue and they have survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
And they're living in the past, but their whole family that's right in front of them or their friends or comrades, and they're oblivious that they're in the now. Not saying that the combat survivor's guilt is not real. It's so real. But it's that they're living so far in the past, so that causes the depression and or suicide and or, you know, the memory and cycles. Yeah. So what we do is we talk them through and say, what is it? What's the elephant in the room? And why aren't you able to move forward? I'm not going to give them the answer. Only they know, because everyone is different. The similarity that we do have is that we're mind, which is our soul, what we think, what we feel. You know, you feel sad just like I can feel sad. You get angry just like I get angry. Our triggers are different.
Yeah.
But in the spirit, there is freedom. There is freedom in the spirit. So what we call that is familiarity, conformity. Maybe I don't want healing. Well, if you don't want healing, then you're not showing up to a retreat. And so that's already my key, that if they are even showing up or thinking about going out of their house, they're already taking that step forward. And I'll tell you, Brother Travis, I've seen lots of, we mostly deal with the ladies, but there are men retreats too, from the organizations I'm involved with. But the ladies that come back and say, thank you so much, they're smiling for the first time, or they're able to embrace a child. They just have a different attitude in life because their spirit was healed. Their body took a toll, and you can see the wounds and the scars, but their spirit is also in that healing process. And last but not least on that one, if I decided to be conforming to my ways and I don't want change, then I meet them where they're at. I meet the people right where they're at, because maybe their whole circumstances aren't as, you know, maybe they're not as impactful as mine. I'm very melancholy, so my thoughts are always like analytical. And maybe they're more introverted. And that's the way they deal with things, is thought process rather than talking it out. And so I give them that space. So one of the things we do is we called holding space for them to be able to embrace their truth.
And to quote the Bible, you know, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free.
Yes.
Tell me what it's like watching someone know their truth and be free, Gloria.
So from the moment that they come in, let's say we call them seekers. From the time a seeker comes in, like I said, they come in with their arms crossed, a very militant face. They don't know what to expect. That's day one. And then we start sharing our stories. The leaders start sharing their stories. And it kind of takes down those layers of the front that we have. And it says that when we speak our truth, the ears that are listening, they don't recognize that that's their story also until like 2 or 3 hours later. And they'll take us to the side and say, how did you know that's, you know, like you said it in a way I could never say it because I haven't gone through that process yet. And from the even the last day, the individuals, their faces, their countenance, their step, even their, they have a leap in their step. They're ready to go say something to somebody. Maybe it's just to address the truth with maybe somebody who's hurt them. Maybe it's just to address the truth that's happened in them. And one of the things we do very much is journaling. Even if you can't speak it out, it's got to be outside of you. So even if it's journaling, because it hurts too much still, the wound is still too fresh, there are ways to cater to the individual person. So what does it look like from beginning to end? It's like dark, you know, it's like day and night. And the thank yous we get afterwards is the joy of why I do and continue to do what I do. As an intercessor or a minister of the gospel, to see someone transformed is the joy of my life. And so I'll continue to keep ministering to women, men, veterans, first responders, whoever the Lord puts in my path.
We got like 5 minutes left, but it would be an honor if you feel so inclined when we close this out to close us out with prayer. Would you do that for us?
Yes.
But the close of this, please.
Okay.
I just wanted to add, this is such a really close moment, and you know, watching you do Veterans Unchained 1 and then be involved with other writing projects, it always, I was amazed and I admired how open you were, not only with your story, but hey, I'm here to serve as well. I'm not just here to write part of my book and go home. You know, if you're having a bad day, Brother Travis, give me a call, you know, message me up. And I'm like, oh, well, she's probably been, she didn't mean that. But I always knew that I always had a place to call if I was really, if it was really dark. And there were some times during my recovery where I'm like, man, I mean, this has got to get better sometime.
Yeah.
How has the writing, just to go back to the writing, how did that start changing you? Because once you started writing, Glory, you haven't stopped.
No. So what changed in me is when I started with Gina Alterman, she introduced me to Sheila Farr. Yep. And Sheila Farr has helped me be a little bit more creative with my words. Because like I said, I had a TBI, so memorizing stuff is not good for me. Even sometimes being on the spot is not good for me. Trying to get my words clear is not always happening. But my heart is in my writing. And so when I got introduced to Sheila Farr, she allowed me to be more creative and challenged me. And I love that. Then I was able to express myself through poetry. And one of the books actually that you were part of as a co-author, which was with Courtney Nault.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Through Our Eyes. And I was able to express through poetry. And then I got involved in more anthologies. So currently I'm at book number 32 and self-published 5. And now what I'm doing is I'm teaching people how to be an author. If they have journals, they're already a writer, but they haven't been a published author. So I said, you don't have to share your whole story. Just share a chapter and make it easy. So I give them an avenue to say, let me connect you. And that's what I'm called to, is to connect the dots. Like, here's a resource. Here's the people. Let me connect you together. And I get out of the way. So I've invited lots of different individuals, whether they're veterans, women, or anybody else who I feel like the Lord has a calling on their life to write. Then I introduce them to some of these other authors. The last project I was involved with, Dr. Kay Kaiser, who is a foster care. She writes several anthologies about foster care. She's a veteran also.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I stayed connected in that way, because part of her healing was when I invited her to her first project, writing project, and she's bloomed since and now is on her own doing that. So what brings me the most joy is being able to lead individuals to be able to share their story. Again, it's that healing process that if they don't get their story out, they're going to continue to hold on to it. Kind of like holding on to a bad dream. It's like, yeah. no, this is more than that. This is so that you can not only bring healing for yourself, but now Kay is reaching people I'm never going to be able to reach. I wasn't in the foster care. But as an Army veteran, she's able to reach veterans and, you know, a different resource. So I would say the reason I continue to write is because there are people who still can read their story by with what I have to say.
Well, just an amazing trajectory here, Gloria, how, you know, and this is what I try to tell myself is, yeah, I went through some bad stuff, but, you know, if I get it out there and if I live my recovery, then, or live my truth through recovery, my truth will set me free. And I really like being free. You know, to go back a little bit, when I started, you know, releasing from living in pain, life got better. I will have the links, you know, to Veterans Unchained 1. And if you want to send me a couple, I'll put them in the Oscar Mike Radio show post, Gloria. But I just want to thank you for coming on and making this really special. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you very much for having me. And I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Can we hold hands virtually? And will you pray for us, please?
Yes, I'd be glad to. Thank you so much. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us the opportunity to have an avenue to be able to share your word, to be able to share your truth. And Father, what you're doing in Travis's life to be able to reach a multitude who may just be behind the scenes, who don't want to be up front, who may feel like they don't have a voice to share. They're hiding behind pain. Maybe they're hiding behind sorrow, loss, grief. But Lord, you see them right where they're at. So I ask, Lord Jesus, that when they're watching this particular video, or if they're listening into this podcast, that you speak, Lord, ever so gently to that part of them that is hurting, that needs healing. And Lord, like you did for me, you said the truth will set you free. And when I was able to speak that truth, nothing can ever hold me back from the joy that you have also given me. I no longer live in shame, doubt, grief, guilt, none of that. Because I know that, Lord God, I gave you the hurt. I gave you the pain. I gave you the trauma and all the questions. And in return, Lord God, you held my hand and you walked me through. And it wasn't easy and it didn't happen overnight, but it happened. And I'm thankful for it. And so, Lord, in the same way, I ask that you would reach out to my brothers and sisters who may be behind the scenes. Reach into their heart, reach into the deepest parts of their truth that they've hidden all these years. Let them know that they have a place, Lord, with you. And or if they don't believe in you, that there's a resource that you will have someone come to them, or let them, Lord, reach out. That there's a place, even with Travis's ministry, to call him up, to reach out to some of these resources that are available through Travis's ministry. Lord, I ask that you would bless Oscar Mike Radio and all of the different episodes that have come on. And Father, I ask for testimonies to come in, at least 20 testimonies, Lord God, before episode 500, that Travis himself would be able to see that you are using him in a mighty way that not only reaches the United States veterans, but also those around the world. Because the United States veterans are the people who have come back. But Lord, there are veterans that are United States, but they're living in other countries. And this message is going to reach them too. I thank you and I praise you, Lord God, because your work is everlasting and it will leave an impact, Lord God, that is life-changing for eternity. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. There's just again, a really special moment with someone who I have, you know, admired for quite some time. And I can't wait to see what you do next, Gloria.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Travis. I'll see you soon then.
Absolutely. I'm going to get down to Texas. I'll see you when I get down there. And I can't wait to give you a hug in person, Gloria.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. There's a retreat that was coming up for the men on October 22nd through the 25th in Alabama. I don't know how far you are.
I'm in Boston, so we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. All right.
Okay.
I'm Travis Oscar Mike Radio. I'm with fellow Marine Corps veteran Gloria Nestleone, who, you know, ministers to people. And just remember, folks, speak your truth and the truth will set you free. Very, very powerful, Gloria. We are Mission Flight. We'll see you next time.
Every generation, every sacrifice, our nation's service members have stood up for our freedom, our families, and our future. Now it's our turn to stand up for them. This year, you can honor their service in a deeply personal way by sponsoring a $17 Veterans Wreath. Each wreath is more than a symbol. It's a heartfelt tribute to the heroes who served and to the families who carry their legacy. Visit wreathsacrossamerica.org to sponsor a wreath today. This isn't just a wreath. It's a personal gift to an American hero.
Thank you for listening and watching Oscar Mike Radio, where our active duty service members and veterans are in action. And the mission is in flight. Oscar Mike Radio is an Oversized Load Co-Sinister One production. If you are a veteran or know a veteran who needs help, please dial 988 and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line.